Very pleased to have the opportunity to be here today. And just to say that I have known Andrew for over 40 years. We've been here in Australia for about 45 years, and for most of that time, we've known him and Sue, and have really enjoyed the friendship over all these many years. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 again, if you will. I'm going to use as a text Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4, as was read just a minute ago. God saw the light, that it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. I'm going to change sides here. How's that? The creation of the world is it really is an intensely interesting subject. Many opinions, many ideas. I want to tell you from the very beginning that this is not a scientific consideration. Our business this morning is really moral and spiritual, and it's along those lines that I'll be speaking. I'm going to justify the subject of this sermon by quoting a remarkable parallel from the New Testament. It's taken from the writings of the great Apostle Paul. From 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and here's what he says. And right away, you'll see a relationship between what he says here and what we just read from the early part of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, now right away you're put in connection with that very first chapter of Genesis. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So right away, you're given the idea, you're given the very strong instruction that this passage in Corinthians really relates back to the creation time, the time when God created the light, the very beginning of the creation time. We find that the old creation was an instructive type. A type is an illustration, or an exposition of, as it were, an instructive type of the new creation. It's an illustration, it's an analogy of the new creation that we have in Christ Jesus, an analogy of his way in preparing and perfecting his people who are, as we say, new creatures in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ Jesus. So all the way along, I'm going to be drawing parallels between the first creation and the new creation, and drawing similarities between the two. And I think you'll be quite amazed. I was really quite surprised and interested when I got into this. I want you to know that man's fallen nature is chaotic. That's the way it was in the beginning with creation. Absolute chaos. No organization, without form and void. That's the way Genesis describes it. Well, man's nature before he comes to Christ is like that. It's chaotic. He lives, as it were, in a kind of spiritual darkness, thick darkness. And the Lord begins his work on man with the visitation of his Holy Spirit. He enters the soul mysteriously, and he broods over the soul as God, the Spirit of God, brooded over the creation at the very beginning, over all that chaos. So he broods over the soul, does the Holy Spirit, even as God had done long before. And as his first blessing, as the very first blessing that God gives us, he sends light into the soul. He says, as it were, let there be light. And he appeals to man's understanding, and he enlightens our understanding with the gospel, which is the light come from God. The light reveals to man his responsibilities. The light reveals to man his obligations to God. Before we come to Christ, we don't realize that we have obligations and responsibilities to fulfill before God. When the light shines in our hearts, the spiritual light, we're shown the evil of sin. The evil of sin is revealed to us. We're shown our own guilt, and we're shown the danger that we face as a consequence of that sin before God. And we're also shown, when the light comes, we're shown the absolute impossibility of our escape from danger through any effort of our own. It has to come from God. But that same light reveals God's way of salvation, reveals how God goes about it. It shows him the person of Christ, the person who's been enlightened, the person of Christ. It shows the work that he did for us. It shows us the suitability, that work that he did for us absolutely fits our need and our necessity. And it's absolute salvation, which comes by the simple act of believing. That's where it is. The light shines, we realize these things about ourselves, we realize we need a Savior, and we find salvation by the simple act of believing. Now, it's a blessed thing for any person when the Lord says to you, or when he says to me, "Let there be light, let there be light." I want you to know the light came into the world first by the Word, came first by the Word of God. It says, God said, "Let there be light." It was his Word that created that early light. And it's through the Word of God contained in this book that we call the Bible that the first light comes into the soul. And further, it's by him who is called the Logos. The word Logos is the Greek word for word. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Logos, Christ himself, that the word is poured into the heart of man. Because in him was life, and that life was the light of man. You remember, with reference to the word Logos, in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth. And it goes on to speak about the power of his word. We know this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now the Holy Spirit is also engaged, because the Holy Spirit broods over our soul before the light comes into us. He considers us, he thinks about us, and he broods over the soul in that way. And the Son of God is also the creator. In the beginning, how does it begin? The book of John. That's what I wanted to. I know it by heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, in the beginning was the Word used there is Logos. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so you have the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, an agent in creation as well. And the Holy Spirit is there also. So everything comes into being through the Word of God. The Father is the one who speaks, and it is done. The Word of God. So it needs the whole Trinity. It needs the Father. It needs the Son. It needs the Holy Spirit to bring us that light. O triune God, our souls, which are new created, worship you in the Trinity of your nature. We worship you as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. The light which broke upon that original darkness was very, very mysterious. Very mysterious indeed. It did not come about according to ordinary laws, because at that time, neither sun nor moon nor stars had been created. That does not happen until the fourth day. The fact of the matter is, we can't know how it happened. We don't know how it happened. It's very mysterious. But can we tell how the spiritual light first began to shine in our own souls, in our own hearts? We can't tell that either. We don't know precisely how that happens. God sends light by this means and that means. It might have been a sermon that you heard. It might have been a coming to an understanding of your need and your sinfulness before God. It might have come through reading a book or reading a pamphlet or hearing the testimony of a Christian person. It comes at various means. The light is God's work. However it comes, it's God's work. And the glory of that work belongs to the Lord alone. How he removes the darkness from our understanding, how he illuminates the intellect, is a secret reserved for God alone. It's very, very mysterious. But if it comes, and when it comes, the light is always God-given. We don't, as it were, achieve it within ourselves. It's always God-given. Let there be light, says God. It comes from the great Father of lights. That's what the Bible calls him. It's always necessary that God should intervene, that he should pour out this light from above. O heart of man, apart from God, you are darkness itself. Your light is to be found in Christ alone. He's called the light of the world. Now the light shone instantaneously when God said that, let there be light. It took 6 days to complete the creation, but the light came immediately. It came in a simple moment, a second, a split second, whatever it was enough to illuminate it. It came in a flash. But though it was instantaneous, it was not temporary. It continued to shine. It was not shallow. It continued to shine. It was not short-lived. It was a permanent blessing, was this light from God. So we may say then that the light remained. It actually increased. And though in every spot upon the globe, light is necessary for us, it doesn't break away. We have night and day, of course, with the sun and so on, but our globe on which we live has never been forsaken of this wonderful light. When God sends grace into the soul of man, it comes instantly and it does not depart. So here we have it. The light actually increases and God sends the light and it's permanent. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Once God calls you, that's it. Now the point that we're making is this. Our text not only concerns the first day of creation, it only concerns the first day of creation. The first day accurately pictures the commencement of our spiritual life. When the light comes in, we're convicted of our sins. It brings about our conversion. It brings about our first faith in the Lord Jesus. My purpose, especially, is to give hope to each one of us, particularly those who are beginners in the Christian life, because I want to encourage them. I want to cheer those upon whom the true light has only lately begun to shine. And I'll be giving a few words of advice to older Christians as well toward the end of the message. Now that all was by way of introduction. I'm only getting to the main body of the sermon now. I've got 3 points, but it takes a while to get us into the proper frame. First point. The Lord sees whatever he creates. It says, the Lord saw the light, and it was good. Neither man nor beast nor animal, whatever it might be, saw the light. God saw the light. If you're a new believer, it may be that you're hurt because you have no Christian companion to see the light in you, to see the light in your heart. But I want you to be comforted if you're in that particular position. It's a small matter that no human eye has seen your repentance and your faith. God sees them. He gave them in the first place. He let the light shine. When the prodigal son was still a great way off, his father saw him. Now you remember how the prodigal son had asked for his part in the inheritance, had gone off and lived in riotous living. And at the end, when he'd spent all of his money, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread and enough to spare, and here I am starving to death. And so he comes back. And we read in the scriptures, according to Jesus' great parable, we read that every day the father went out on the road, looking down the road to see if his son was coming. And he saw him from a great way off. That's the way it is with God. God sees the light. And he ran out and he embraced his son and fell on his neck and kissed him and brought him back, you remember, gave him a brand new robe to wear, killed the fatted calf and gave a great feast. So it was. God saw God saw. So God sees the light in you. I want you to be encouraged by that. Sometimes we think that our Christian lives are weak or full of fault, and they are. But God sees the light. Do you remember Hagar in the desert? She was Sarah's servant girl, her slave girl. And she had a child. The child's name was Ishmael. And Sarah was jealous, and she chased her away. And so you find Hagar out in the desert with nothing to help her, with her little son Ishmael. And then God appears to her, and he shows her a well, and she's given comfort, and she's given instruction. And she named God Beer Lahai Roy. That means, "Thou God seest me." God sees. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. That's Psalm 34, verse 15. Here's what Psalm 40, 17 says. "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks on me." I want you to get that. That is the most thrilling thing. It's personal. It's for you. It's for me. The Lord thinks on me. He hasn't forgotten me. He shone the light on me, and he knows the light, and he recognizes it. He sees it himself. So if you're a beginning in the Christian life, your Heavenly Father sees the work of grace in you. He sees the light. He does not turn his eye from the light which he himself kindled in the first place. So you need not fear. That's what I'm addressing this morning most of all, I think, that we sometimes fear, I have sinful thoughts, or I've done this that I shouldn't have done, or this or that or whatever, and we think, can I really be a Christian at all? And what I'm saying is, God sees the light. He sees the light in you. And once it's shining you, he doesn't let you go. So if you're a beginner in the Christian life, or if you're older in the Christian life, the Heavenly Father sees the work of grace in you. He does not turn his eye from the light which he himself has kindled, and therefore you need not to fear. Here's what the psalmist says. He says, "Look upon me and be merciful to me, as you do to those who love your name." That's us. "Look upon me and be merciful to me, as you do to those who love your name." Now, the light had come into the world silently, and yet the Lord saw it. He saw it. I woke up this morning before sunrise, and I didn't hear the sun come up. It was silent. Sometimes we hear the birds singing to welcome the sun in the morning, but we heard not a sound of its rising. It's true, as I say, the birds salute the dawn, but the sun rises without a voice. And yet the Lord sees the light. That's because light is its own advertisement. It doesn't need an announcement. It doesn't need somebody shouting out, "There's the sun," because the sun advertises itself. And that's the way it is with grace. That's the way it is with the light from God. In your life, the work of grace has been very quiet. Not much noise about it, very quiet, just like the rising of the sun. Perhaps no remarkable sermon. Some people are won through a remarkable sermon. Perhaps no terrible dream. I've known people that had a nightmare about their spiritual state who became Christians because of that. But that's not what we're talking about here. Or a sickbed experience. Sometimes it happens then. Or sometimes a grim apprehension of the law of God. When you begin to see the law and to understand the law and how it applies to you, how you've broken it, that sometimes brings people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the sun shines, it doesn't need any trumpet. Do you remember Lydia? It says, "Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, he shone his light upon her." Do you remember Timothy? It says about Timothy, he knew the scriptures from his youth, taught by his mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. So the Lord sees the light. Don't be led to doubt, although the work has been so quiet and so hidden and so unremarkable, yet take comfort in the text, "The Lord saw the light. He sees the light in you, even when you don't see the light yourself. If you're a believer, he sees the light. Now, here's another point. The Lord itself did not recognize the light. The earth itself did not recognize the light, and yet God did. It's a fact that the believer often has doubts about himself or herself. And she's not alone. He's not alone. There are times when some of the more advanced among us, very mature Christians, are very glad that God sees the light even when we don't. I don't think there's a person here who during his life have said, oh dear, I wonder why I've done this or why I've thought this or why I have this attitude or that or whatever, thinking that God has, as it were, abandoned us. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that way. God doesn't let us go. So you should not wonder when it happens to young new Christians. It happens to older Christians as well. It's a very serious question. Am I in the light or not? And you shouldn't be surprised, even if you're an older Christian, when you come to, sometimes come to doubt. I want you to know, I want to reassure you, the light is there. Without the light, there's no other beauty. In Genesis 1:2, God saw the light that it was good. There's confusion, there's emptiness and waste where there's no light. Everything's discordant and disorganized. The point is, God fixed his eye upon the light. Even so, your experience may seem to be a chaos, precisely what it should not be as a Christian. You've got these unformed imaginations, as it were, and these ill-formed prayers sometimes, or perhaps half-formed desires. And yet I'm telling you that if you've turned to Christ, if you turn to Christ in faith, recognizing your natural sinfulness, there's grace in you. And God sees it amid all the confusion, amid the uproar of your spirit, he sees it. All the sin that dwells in you, he regards as covered from his sight by the atoning work of his dear Son, who's called the light of the world. When the light came, it had to contend with the darkness, but God saw the light anyway. And in your soul, the darkness, the ignorance, the weakness, the tendency to sin, it still remains, it's still there, and it causes inner conflict. But that doesn't mean that the light is therefore hidden from God. He keeps his eye on the light rather than on the darkness. And oh, how we should bless him for that, how we should thank him for that. If he were to ignore the light because it's so feeble and look only at our sin because it's so strong, he would certainly destroy us. But he sees the light. He sees the light. So instead of destroying us, he casts our sins behind his back. Here's what he says. This is Isaiah 27:3. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. So why does God see the light? What do you think? Why does he see it? Well, the main reason the Lord sees the light is because he himself created it. He's the one that made it. He said, let there be light. God does not forsake the work of his own hands. He can see grace where you can't see it, and where I can't see it. He knows where it is. He's the one that hid that grace, that as it were hid that light in your soul. And all the grace that we have in our hearts, it calls him Father. That's the way that we know him. We know him as our Father. God hears his own voice and he turns that way. God knows his own children. Well, let me sum up. You who have been converted to God may grieve in your soul that there's so little order. You wish that you were doing better. I wish I was doing better too. I feel the same way. You may see no growth. You may see very little fruit. may see not much virtue. It may be that we haven't known the Lord long enough to produce very much yet. And yet, if you've been given enough light to reveal Christ to you as your only hope, to reveal Christ as your only hope, be encouraged. The Lord does not look for the fourth day's work on the first day. On the first day, he made the light, but he did not create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day. The light of God was created on the first day. So he doesn't see the fourth day's work on the first day, but he sees that in you that which he gave and created himself. He sees in you the light. And you know what he says? He says, it's good. It's good. And seeing the light, he'll preserve it. That's what he does. He preserves the light that he gives so that you will never have to walk in darkness again. Let me ask you, have you repented of your sins? Well, God sees the light. Have you mourned about your shortcomings? Well, God sees the light. Have you begun to pray? Do you remember the incident? Paul had been struck on the road to Damascus and was blinded. And God went to a man, God spoke to a man whose name was Ananias, a good Christian man. And he said, I want you to go and minister to Paul because he's praying. God saw that he was praying. And that's what I'm saying, that when you do this, when you pray, when you believe in Christ, when you come to him even with a trembling faith, God sees it. He sees it. So, have you begun to hope for mercy? Well, God knows it, and he sees it. And do you know what he says? He says, it's good. It's good. What he sees, he approves. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the light. And he said, it's good. God bless you. I'm going to turn it back to Andrew.